Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today, we have the schus of beginning the second perek of Bava Kamma, perek Ketzer HaRegel, and you'll notice it appears at the lower part of daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. If counting lines is something you enjoy doing, so count 9 lines up from the bottom. As we look at the Mishnah, you will notice that we have highlighted with a double underline a 2 words, Horegel and Habehema. This marking will be very helpful when we get into the Gemara, where the Gemara itself will ask that there seems to be a repetitive tone, a repetitive element to this Mishnah at the beginning. So the name of the parak, Ketzer HaRegel, suggests what our topic is. In fact, we're going to be dealing with the Nezek of Regel. We saw at the beginning of the Masechta Arba Ovas Nezikin, Hashor Vabor, Hamave Vahever. So the Nezek of Shor is possibly, it's a Machlokas Tanoim, but according to one of the Deos of the Tanoim, Shor means Regel. Mave means Shein. The nezek, the source of damage through an animal as it walks along. So our Mishnah says, Ketzer HaRegel Mu'edes. The translation of that is not to be done literally, as Rashi himself says, Klomar Bameh HaRegel Mu'edes. So that we're explaining that this phrase means in what respect or how, in what behavior form would we say that regel is anticipated. It's the animal is prone to damage in this way. So how does an animal damage through regel, through walking, in an expected fashion? So the Mishnah says, L'shaber derech hilucha. It will break items as it walks along. As it walks along, and there are vessels or utensils on the floor, assuming that we're in a private domain, because regel is not culpable in a public thoroughfare. So, assuming that we're in a private domain, and someone's animal walks into someone else's rishus, someone else's domain, someone else's property, and tramples and breaks vessels or other items underfoot, the owner of the animal must pay full damages. What else? Habehema mu'edes v'halech kedarko u'lishaber. The behema, well, a behema is an animal, a cow, for example, is mu'ad, is prone to damage through its normal course of walking. Hoysa mivaetis. If the animal was kicking around, was thrashing around with its feet, that's unusual for an animal to do. Oy shahoyutsuros minatsin mitachs ragla. Or, as the animal is walking along in its normal fashion, pebbles spurt out, are cast out from underfoot. This is not something unusual. It's normal as animals walk along unpaved roads or unpaved surfaces. they will be cast out from underfoot pebbles. And if that pebble flies and does damage, so there's culpability. However, how much culpability? So the Mishnah says, if v'shibros hakelim, and as it was either mevaetes or walking along and pebbles spurred out from underfoot and broke vessels, mishalim chatzi nezek, half payment is made. Now the nature of the half payment with regard to mevaetes is a result of something unusual taking place, and if the animal has not become a regular at it. It hasn't become wood. It's hasn't done it three times. So the owner of the animal will pay only half damages. In accordance with what we've learned extensively in the past, that a short tom pays chatzi nezek, half damages. The issue of tsuros, that we've learned in the past, we learned in our previous perek, that tsuros cast pebbles from underfoot by virtue of an oral tradition. Even though this is normal, the breaking of the vessels results in the owner paying only half damages. The truth is that what we just said is a machlokes tanoim. There's a tanaic controversy surrounding that. But for our purposes, this Mishnah represents the opinion that tsuros, the cast pebbles, that cause damage, result in half payment. Dorso al hakli vishibrosoi. An animal trampled upon a vessel and smashed it underfoot. And in the course of smashing it, a piece of the vessel flew out. The nofal. Now, this Mishnah appears, in my opinion, to be quoted later on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. And in the quotation there, following the word v'nofal, you find the word hashever al kli v'shibro. And that adding that word is whether it's a textual addition for our purposes, or it's an addition by way of understanding, leaving the text as it is, v'nofal al kli v'shibro. But what nofal? Nofal means fell upon another vessel and broke it. What fell is a piece of the original vessel that the animal crushed underfoot. So there's vessel number one that the animal itself directly, bodily broke. That vessel then fragmented, and a piece of it flew up into another vessel and broke it. Al horishon mishan nesek shalem. For the breaking of the first vessel that the animal did in a bodily fashion by walking on it, the owner has to pay full damages. That's standard regel damage. Follow achroin mishalem chatzi nezek. The last vessel in this scenario, it's interesting that the Mishnah doesn't say the second vessel, but rather the last vessel. That itself is a source of discussion. But for our purposes, certainly the second vessel broken, and there's an issue concerning what about if that vessel then in turn fragments and pieces fly and break another, and you have this chain effect. We'll leave that aside for right now. But we want to make a distinction between the initial vessel that the animal bodily trampled and the second vessel that was broken through a flying shard. For that second vessel, or what the Mishnah calls the last vessel, that results in the payment of half damages, because that's classified as tsuros. Now, we before spoke about flying pebbles. That might sound quaint, but in legal terms, there is an analysis of that, and we'll see much more about this in the Gemara. What is tsuros? But for right now, we can describe tsuros as being a form of damage that results from force initiated by the animal without the animal bodily coming into contact with the item that broke. So it's damage through force exerted by the animal without direct animal contact. So that the first vessel that was crushed underfoot, that was direct bodily contact by way of the animal, pay full damages. The shard that flew out from underfoot, that was set into flight by the force of the animal, and the second vessel that broke without any bodily contact with the animal itself. That is we'll call it the legal description of tsuros. So as we've said many times in our Gemara markings shirim, especially at the beginning of the Masechta, not to fall into the trap of simplistic literal translations, but to strive at all times when studying this area of halacha to see what kind of principle is represented by the simplistic appearing examples. I say appearing because these examples are far from simplistic. There are many dimensions, and true Torah scholars end up developing entire treatises of analysis based on just one word cited as a seemingly simple example. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Hatarnegolim mu'adim lahaloch kedarkon ulishaber. Chickens are prone to walking along and breaking things. Hayadliel kosher baraglov. The word dliel, some yourselves have the word dli. Dliel, Rashi says, anything that gets tied to a chicken's foot. Things get tied around chicken's feet. They continue walking, and the item that's tied to their foot starts to wave and come into contact and impact other things. That's dliel. Dli would be a pail gets attached to a chicken's foot. Whatever the case is, the chicken has this thing attached to it, tied around its foot. And Oshoya Mahades Umishaber es hakelim, or the chicken was Mahades, means dancing around, and pebbles were cast out from underfoot, and the projectiles broke vessels. Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, for this there is a half Nezek payment. The Dalil is an item that's, we'll say, it's cast forth from the chicken. It's not the chicken itself, though. So if it impacts something and damages it, that comes under the category of tsuros. There is much more to say on the topic. What we're saying now is very superficial and certainly can be questioned in terms of accuracy for detail, but let that suffice for the explanation of the Mishnah. We continue now on Omid Beis with the Gemara. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading, which reads, Hesber Loshon Umivneha Mishnah. We need to explain the language and the structure of the Mishnah. And point number two, Vahashva, the Mishnah Lekamon, Daf Yutes Omid Beis, Binyan Shein. We'll engage in a type of comparison between our Mishnah, which deals with regel, damage done through the walking of an animal, damage during the normal walking pattern of an animal, and the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis, which deals with an animal that damages through eating food. And we say damages through eating food on a simplistic level. It means the animal ate someone else's food. Omarle, we turn to the Gemara, top line, Omarle Ravina, the Rava. Ravina asks, Hainu regel, Hainu behema. The word regel in the Mishnah is a reference to an animal that damages through foot. Well, that's an animal, it's a behema. So there's a redundancy in the Mishnah. Regel and behema are one and the same. Why does the Mishnah repeat itself? And with the, if you recall, we mentioned there was a double underlining in the Mishnah. Just look back there, and you can see that the two phrases that appear seem to be repetitive. Omar Le, Rava answers, Tana avos v'katani toldos. The Mishnah mentions avos, the primary form of foot damage. That means literally with the foot. The animal walks and with its feet tramples items underfoot. And the continuation of the Mishnah, it mentions toldos, derivatives. A behema is prone to walking along and crushing things with its body, with its hair getting attached to things and dragging them along and smashing things, or with things, packages on its back. That's a reference to the toldos, derivatives. But they're all forms of damage through the animal's normal pattern of walking. The Gemara asks, Ravina asks, Ella Meata, well, with that approach to our Mishnah, Seifa Dikotoni, the Seifa, the continuation of this Mishnah, is found on Daf Yud Tes Omid Beis. And it says in that Mishnah, here we have a very, very fragmented quote. It says, Hashem Mu'edes, and then we have three dots, and it says, Habehema Mu'edes. We have a little star, so you don't have to turn to Yud Tes Omid Beis. It reads over there, Ketzer Hashem Mu'edes, Lechol Saroi La. Habehema Mu'edes, Lechol Peros Virakos. The shein, tooth, eating, is a form of damage that an animal is prone to do through eating that which is fit to it. And then it goes on to say, Habehema an animal is mu'ud, is prone to eat fruits and vegetables. In that, the Gemara asks here, my avos my toldos yikov. In that Mishnah, where do you see avos and toldos? Eating that which is fit for it to eat and eating fruits and vegetables is they're one in the same. Where do you have an illustration of something that's a derivative form of damage derived from shame when both phrases there on the few tastes on the base are describing direct shame related damage? So this is Ravina's question to Rava. In other words, trying to adopt your approach to this Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin, the beginning of the Perek, how can that approach be replicated with regard to explaining the Mishnah on Daf Yud Testament Beis, where over there, there's no reference to any toldos? Havikomahadule bevdichusa viyomale. Rava responded bevdichusa in a lighthearted, a joking fashion to Ravina. And he said, look, I answered one Mishnah. I explained this Mishnah, the first Mishnah. Now it's your turn to explain the Seifa, the next Mishnah. All right, that's very nice, but we're curious. V'taimomai, what is the explanation of the Seifa? Omar Rav Hashi, Tono Shein Dechaya, V'Kotoni Shein Debehemo. The Mishnah refers to shame, destruction, damage done by a chaya. Chaya is an undomesticated animal. Obviously, it's owned by someone. And it features damage done by a domesticated, a behemoth. Why does the Mishnah have to teach damage done by a chaya and a behemoth? Without the Mishnah, Salka Deita Chamina, I would have thought on my own, the posuk that deals with the damage of Shein says, "V'shilach es bi'ira." Ksiv. That's what it says in the pasuk. And the targum of the word behema, the Aramaic version of the word behema, is in fact bi'ira. Interestingly, the Torah uses what we would call the equivalent of an Aramaic word, and that's what Rashi says: bi'ira, hainu targum shel behema. Behemo being the Hebrew, and the Torah uses the Aramaic version. And that being in mind, we would then say Behemo in Chayolo. A Behemo, a domesticated type animal, that is what one is held culpable for if it damages, but if one owns an undomesticated type animal and it consumes someone else's food, you would not be guilty. Kol Mashmalon. So the Mishnah tells us that shame of Chaya is also culpable. And why is shame of Chaya also culpable? The Chaya b'chlal behema. A Chaya creature is included in the general category of behema. So when the Torah makes reference to a behema, subsumed within that term is chaya as well. You'll notice we have brackets here. These brackets here are very, very helpful to prevent you from reading the Gemara incorrectly. When you read Komash Malon, you're supposed to pause at that point and say, like we said, Komash Malon, and it comes to teach me, naming the Mishnah that says Shein in it, the Mishnah Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, that says Shein, that's the Shein of a Chaya, that you're also Chaya for Shein of a Chaya. Do not make the mistake of saying that that the Mishnah on Yud Tes teaches me that Chaya is Bechlal Behema, that Chaya is a subcategory or subsumed within Behema. That's not what the Mishnah is telling me. That's known from other sources. But once we know that a Chaya is a subcategory Behema, so when the Mishnah says that the Shein of Chaya is also Chayav, it comes as no surprise. And that the Pasuk that says Vishilach Esbira is not to be understood as excluding Chaya, just because the Pasuk made reference to Behema. So the Mishnah tells us that the Pasuk reference to Behema is not to the exclusion of Chaya. Why not? So that's a separate point. And that's because Chaya is b'chal behema, as is learned in other from other sources. The Gemara asks, Ihachi ha meboyale lemisni baresha. Regarding the Mishnah Daf Yud Tes, the shein of behema, because the Mishnah there says how is shein mu'edes, and then it goes on to say a behema is mu'edes. Now the word behema in the Mishnah there is a reference to the domesticated animal, which is really the topic of the pasuk. And you know, in the simple reading of the pasuk, behema is the focus, that a behemoth that damages through shein creates culpability on the part of the owner. So why is that not taught first in the Mishnah? So that's what the Gemara means when it says that ha shein of behemoth miboy lemisni bereisha. It should have been taught first. Why does the Mishnah there on Daf Yud Tes say ketzid hashein mu'edes when the word shein is a reference to the shein of a chaya? The Gemara answers, Hai da'asya le midrosha chaviva le. Information that's derived through drosha. Drosha would be applying the oral tradition in understanding psukim. Laws that are not explicit, but they're derived. That chaviva means that's beloved, that is dear, that is more beloved, and hence it's given a position of preeminence. It's taught first. More asks, Ihachi, Reishonami, our Mishnah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Lisni Hahi Delok Siva Bereisha. Let the Torah write first, Behema Mu'edes. What did we say Behema Mu'edes meant? We said that's a reference to the toldos that we saw on the second line from the top. So why does our Mishnah say Ketzin HaRegel when we know from the explanation above that our Mishnah says a behemo mu'edes, that's a reference to the tolda. Now the tolda is a derivative point. It's not explicit. So shouldn't that be given a position of preeminence? The Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta. How can you compare what we are saying regarding Shein with regard to our Mishnah? Hasam on Yud Tesam Edbeis, Edi V'Edi Ovois Ninhu. Both the word Shein and the word Behema, the word Shein, a reference to Achaya, and the word Behema in its simple meaning, a domesticated animal, are describing animals that destroy through eating, direct eating. That's the primary form of damage. That's called the av, like the beginning of our Masechta Arba Avos Nezikin. So, they're both on the same level, in the sense that they're both alluded to directly in the scripture. Hach da'asyo le midrosha chaviva le. Chaya, which is derived through drosha, that it's understood through drosha to be a subcategory of behema. But the Mishnah describing a chaya that's destroying in an av nezek fashion. So we say in a case like that, since both the behema and chaya forms of damage are on the av level, the primary level, the example that's derived through drosha, namely the chaya, chaviv olay, then we use the chaviv olay excuse or reason for teaching it first. Hacha, with regard to our Mishnah, Shavik av etoni tolda. Are you expecting the Mishnah to abandon, to leave aside? Shavik means to leave aside. Av, meaning the Mishnah mentioned the regel. That's the primary form. And you wanted to teach habehema. The behema is mu'edes lahalech kedarka, when the word behema is a reference to the tolda, a derivative form of damage. That far, we're not going to go to give preeminence to something that's, I'll say, derived or drosha-based. So, once again, the intonation here is important. Hacha, regarding our Mishnah, Shavik Av Etoni Tolda, do you expect the Tana to leave aside the Av and give the Todah the preeminent position, the number one position in the Mishnah? Certainly not. So when you have two phrases that are both references to ovos, to primary forms of damage, we'll give preeminence to the one derived through drosha. However, when you have two forms of damage, one is primary and one is derivative, we're not going to give the derivative the preeminent position in the Mishnah. Iboy Esema, another explanation for why our Mishnah has regel cited at the beginning. Aidi desolik me regel posach beregel. Since in the previous perek on Daf Tes Vovo Midbeis, the Mishnah said horegel mu'edes, and it didn't use the word habehema mu'edes. So we're picking up from the first perek using the same word in our Mishnah. Ketzer horegel mu'edes. So in terms of literary structure and symmetry, we choose the word regel as the opening of our Mishnah, our perek. On the side of the Gemara, we have an osei topic heading, which reads, number one, Dugmois shel nezek al yedei regel, examples of damage through regel. Number two, Tsuros, the issue of the cast pebbles. Machlokes rabbonan v'sumchis. We'll see, as we alluded to earlier, there's a disagreement on a Tanaic level between the rabbis and Sumchis. The Rabbanon holding Chatzi Nezek, we saw that in our Mishnah, and Sumchis holding Nezek Shalim, full damage paid for Tzuro's damage. Tonu Rabbanon. Behemo mu'edes laloch kedarko l'shaber. This is, you can see, a Tanaic source. We have it in a frame. This opening phrase of the source is found, in fact, in our Mishnah, that the Behemah is Mu'edes, Aloch Kedarko L'Shaber. What the Braisa does is it elaborates, as all Braisas do, on Mishnayos. So, Ketzad, in what sense, or how is that manifest, the Mu'edes aspect, the proneness, the expectation of an animal to damage through walking? Behemo shenichnaso lechotzer anizik. An animal went into someone's private domain. Nizik is the one who was damaged. A person walks into a private domain. They will call it the victim's domain. Vehizika begufa derech hilucha. And it damages with its body. Notice, not its foot. It's the animal's body. In the discussion before, we made reference to this phrase, behemo muedes, as being the toldos of regel, the derivatives of regel. Damages done in the course of the animal's walking other than trampled underfoot. But as the animal walks along, it might, with its body, break things. Ubesaira derechilucha, or through its hair getting caught onto things and breaking it. Beukuf shalea, through the ukuf on its back, the saddle on its back. Beshlif shalea. The shlif is a package, a burden on its back. Ubeprumbia shebefia, with the bit in its mouth. Ubezug shebetzavor, the bell around its neck. Vechamor bemasao, a donkey walking along and doing damage with the burden on its back. In all of these cases, mishalem nezek sholem, full damage restitution is to be made. These are all normal forms of damage as an animal is walking along. Sumchus omer, tsruos v'chazir she'anoiver v'ashba. Later, right after this Tanaic source, the Gemara is going to ask, how does Sumchus come and chime in with Tsuros, which was not a point that was discussed by the Tanakama? Generally speaking, a later Tana within a source is reacting to something that had been discussed in the earlier part of the source. We don't see any reference to Tsuros, the damage done through projectiles, in the first part of this source. So, as I said, that will be the Gemara's question, but in the meantime, Sumchus says that Tsuros and a chazir, a pig, she'noiver ba'ashba, the behavior of chazirim is to, with their snouts, they cast about in garbage heaps. So a chazir, while while thrashing around with its snout, its nose, its snout, in a garbage heap. We skip the brackets for a moment. Hit is vehizik, and something was projected outward, was cast out, and in flight, it then damaged something. Mishalim nezek shalim. Full damages are to be paid. Now, this idea of nezek shalim for what we just described is Sumchus's own opinion. The rabbis don't agree with that. Rashi across from here says Sumchus less lehirasod dechatzi nezek tsuros. Sumchus doesn't have that oral tradition that that tsuros, the projectiles, generate a half damage restitution rate. Elo nezek shalim svirulei. Sumchus holds that projectile damage pays full damages. Now we skipped a couple words, a line and a word. Let's go over it again. Noting that the language within the brackets is not accurate. We read the final version. So the let's reread that source at the end of the source. Sort mention was made of the Chazir Shoya Neuver Bashba, Vehizik, Mishali Nezik Sholeb. If the pig is thrashing around in a garbage heap and causes damage, it pays full damage. Is it pshita? That's obvious. It's the swine doing direct body damage to whatever was in its immediate vicinity. You don't need to highlight that. That's kind of obvious. Elohim, or rather, what Sulkas is describing is hitiz. It cast out something. It projected something. The hizik, and the projectile did the damage. Meshali, nezek sholing, full damage is paid, and that's Sumchus, according to his unique opinion, that tsuros, projectile damage, pays full restitution. The Gemara asks, Sumchus opens up his remark by referring to tsuros, so we ask tsuros man dekar shmayu. Man dekar shmayu, I'm sure you sense, is an Aramaic phrase. In Hebrew, the equivalent would be mi hizkir dochar. The Zion and the Dalet interchange between Hebrew and Aramaic. So zochar means to make reference, to account or recount. So who made any accounting, Shmayu, of their name, namely tsuros? Why did Sumchus open his remarks with regard to tsuros when the previous opinion didn't make any mention of it? The Gemara says, Chisuri Mechasru V'Hachi K'toni. The source that we read was actually abbreviated. And you should understand it thusly. So we have a frame around the additional information that you didn't see in the original text. The Tanakama holds Tsuros Ki Urchayu. Tsuros, projectiles that happen through the normal. Urchayu means the regular walking of an animal at underfoot. Some gravel is cast out and does damage. Chatzi nezek. The payment is half damage. V'chazir shoya noiver ba'ashba v'hitiz v'hizik. And a swine that was noiver. That's the verb form or the verbal description of the animal thrashing about with its snout in a garbage heap. And as it's making these movements, rapid movements, it casts something with its snout outwards, and that projectile, the hizik, does damage. Mishalem chatzi nezek. Rashi says across from it, tsuros ki urchayu, klomar afalgav dur chayu. Even though it's normal, lahatis tsuros, normal damage. Up till now, when you associate normalcy, regularity with Shane, with Regel, we know that full payment is made. Here we come upon something novel. Here you have normal damage, damage done through normal animal behavior, and nevertheless, Mishalim, Chatzi Nezek, Kirmeforsh, Lekameh, as the Gemara explains later, the Hilchos Gemiri Lo, Rashi says, the oral tradition tells us this. V'chein chazir ha-noiver u'matiz tsuros b'chotmo haveinami k'tsuros ha-regel. The swine's snout movement is similar to the cow's walking with pebbles cast forth. The chol. Now here we have the, we'll say, the textbook definition of what tsuros. And Rashi, in his marvelously succinct fashion, says the chol ma shukoyche velo gufo kori tsuros. All damage that happens through animal force and not animal body, is that's called tsuros. And as we said before, and we say it so many times, to let's say fend off all the detractors of Talmudic law, these are principles, they are concepts, and hence the term tsuros is this, is an item that is, that a force is invested in the item through the animal. The animal invested a force in the object. I'm sure physicists would have a more scientific way of explaining this, but a force is vested in the projectile, and that projectile flies and does damage before ultimately landing. And that damage is called tsuros. And the oral tradition, according to the Rabbanan, is half restitution. We continue in what we have as the rereading of the source, Sumchas Omer, Tsuros v'chazir shoya noiver ba'ashpo v'hitiz v'hizik mishale nezek shalein. The tsuros, the pebbles cast out by a cow walking along, the projectiles caused by a pig thrashing about in the garbage heap, and damage that results from the projectiles pays full restitution according to Sochus. Tana Rabbana, tarnegolim shohayu mafrichen mimokom lemokom v'shibru kelim. Chickens that are flying around from one spot to another, and they break vessels. Now, it depends. Bekanfehem, through their wings, through actual contact of the chicken's wings with items that are in the chicken's way, and the wing contact knocks over a vessel and it smashes. Mishalei nezek sholei. Full damage is to be paid. That's direct body damage caused through a chicken's normal behavior. Once again, we're dealing with damage that happens in a private domain, not in a public thoroughfare. Beruach shebekanfehem, as chickens flap their wings, a wind is produced. Now, the wind also has a force to it that could knock over vessels, and hence their destruction. Destruction through the ruach shebekanfeim, through the wind cast or caused by the chicken's wing flapping. The wings are not touching the item that breaks. It's the wind that knocks over the vessel. Mishalmin chatzi nezek. Half damage is paid. Why? I'm sure you guessed it. This is a perfect example of force generated by the animal without the animal, the chicken's bodily contact with the broken item. Half damage. That is also called tsuros. So here, if you're fixated on literal translations, we're then saying that winds and pebbles are one in the same. And in legal terms, yes, they are one in the same. Sumchus Oimer Nezek Shalem. Sumchus, true to his opinion that force without body contact pays full damages. Tanya Idoch, another brisa, also featuring chickens. Tarnagulim shoyu mahadsin algabi isa, the algabi peros. Chickens that were mahadsin, dancing on dough or on fruits, the tinfu o nikru, they soiled them. Tinfu is to dirty, to soil it. Nikru, they pecked away at it, and the pecking away at the dough or the fruits ruins them. Mishale nezek sholem. Full damages are paid. Helu ofar otsros. As they were dancing, so it cast up dirt or pebbles from the ground into the dough, also ruining the dough. Mishalmin chatzi nezek. Half payment is made. And I'm sure you guessed it. That's a case of tsuros. The chicken did not directly have contact with the dough or the fruits, as opposed to the beginning of this source where they did. So, since there was not direct contact, but rather it's damage done or generated through the force of the chickens, the energy that they aroused, the wind, the projectiles, half damages are paid. Sumchus Omer Nezek Shalim, full restitution. Tanya Ibach. Here we have a Tanaic source with no name in it. And the Gemara, upon completing the source, will then note who would be the author of this source. What does it say? Tarnagol shoya mafriach mimokum lamokum. A chicken that was flapping around, was flying from one spot to another. V'yotzisa ruach mitachas kenofov. And a wind was produced from under its wings. V'shibras akelim. And the wind was responsible for vessels breaking. Mishalem chatzi nezek. The owner of the chicken must compensate the owner of the broken vessels to the tune of half damage. Half the value of the damage. What was just described here? Tsruros. Force, not direct body contact. Penalty, half damage. Who holds that? Stamo? Kerabon. Stam means an unnamed source. Generally speaking, unnamed sources carry with them a significant amount of legal authority. Hence, it's important for us to identify the Stam, this unnamed source, is in accordance with the Rabbonan. Omar Rava, Bishlama Sumchus, I understand Sumchus's approach. Kosovar Koche Kagufoi Domi, that force generated by an animal is like the animal's direct body contact. And hence Sumchus says that in both cases full restitution is made. El Rabbonan, but when you look at the opinion of the Rabbonan, I Kagufo Domi, if force is like the animal's body, kulei nezek boi l'shalim, then you should pay full restitution, just like in the case of direct body damage done by the animal. V'ilav kegufo domi, and if force is mere force and not like the body, chatzi nezek nami lo l'shalim, then even half damages should not be paid. And what's the root of this question is, the concept of half damage restitution, we are familiar with that, but we're familiar with it only when damage happens through the unusual, the keren, the goring examples that we've had so much in the past. So when you're dealing with something with damage that results from unusual behavior, I understand the idea of chatzi nezek that the Torah provides for. However, here we're not dealing with something unusual. It's normal for chickens to flap around. It's normal for pigs to thrash around with their snouts in garbage heaps and cast projectiles. It's normal for pebbles to be cast forth from underfoot of animals walking along. Where does this half-nezik idea come from? These are not unusual behavior patterns of the animals. Hodor Omar Rava, then Rava said, Liolum kegufo domi. The projectile or force-oriented damage is like direct body damage. Damage caused by direct body contact with the attacking animal, with the damaging animal. V'chatzi nezek tsuros ilchisa gemiri la. That the payment for force-related damage as being half damages is an oral tradition. It's not something based on verses or anything of the like. It's an oral tradition that is the way it is. So we accept it, we'll say, axiomatically. Once again, the Rabbonan hold thusly. The Gemara continues with Rava making a statement that might sound a bit cryptic, but the Gemara will offer an explanation. Omar Rava, Kol Shebezav Tomei, Benezikin Mishalim Nezek Shalim. Kol Shebezav Tohor, Benezikin Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Azav is a type of tuma, ritual impurity. This results from a man having a certain type of body release, and that body release, if it happens two times or three times on the same day or on successive days, he becomes tome, and he becomes a zav. A zav will defile items that he comes into direct contact with. So anything that in the case of a Zav would become Tomei, that in other words is, we'll say, direct body contact. I'm just going to caution ahead of time that the ability of a Zav to communicate Tuma, impurity, is not limited to what I just said. I spoke about direct body contact. But the Rav is telling us there's a whole realm of methods of a Zav to communicate Tuma. So in any of those ways that a Zav communicates Tuma, if damage happens in a similar fashion, not related to a Zav, just the Zav is a borrowed idea. It's an example or a paradigm of movement. And the equivalent of that in the case of damage would be Meshalim Nezek Sholem. In the case of a Zav, where we'll say the Zav does not communicate impurity, he is not Metame. An example of that would be, imagine a Zav throws an item at a person that is Tohar. The Zav didn't touch the person that's Tohar. He cast an item. Something was projected from the Zav to the pure individual. The pure individual will remain undefiled. So things like that, in Nezikin, where you have a projectile and damage results from something being projected, there, Meshalem Chatzi Nezek. Now, in simple terms, what are we describing? When you say in the equivalent form by Nezikin, it would result in half damage. We said by the Zav, if he throws an item at someone that's Tor, the person will not become Tomei. The parallel of Nezik would be an item that's projected from the source, from the animal, we'll say, and it causes damage. Half damages are paid. Well, what we're describing, basically, is Tsruros. Do I need Rava to tell me that Tsruros pays Chatzi Nezik? That's well known before Rava. The Rava Tsruros also Lashminen? Is Rava coming to tell me the law concerning Tsruros? Lo. That's not what Rava intends to teach us at all. Rava Eglo Moisheches Bekoroin Komash Malon. Rava is telling us about a scenario where a calf is drawing a cart along the way. Eglo Moisheches Bekoroin is a cart. Rashi across from here says, Eglo Moisheches Bekoroin Osash Minan. The Bezav Tomei, im holcha koron, shazav oleo, al gabi kelim, temeim, mishum medris hazav. Imagine a zav. We mentioned he was a person that experienced a type of emission causing him to become tomei. And he is sitting in a cart. And the cart is drawn along, and under wheel, there are kelim, there are clothing, vessels, or whatever. Well, I say clothing because they won't be destroyed by the wheel going over them. Those clothing become tomei. Why? What went over the clothing? Medris azav, an item upon which is designed for a zav to sit on. So the zav in the koron, going over the clothing, is tantamount to the zav himself having contact with the clothing. The parallel case by damage, if someone's animal was drawing a cart and it rolled over someone's vessels and ruined them, kegufa have, it's like the animal itself. The lo kitsuros, the cart is like an extension of the animal. It's not a projectile coming forth from the animal, and therefore full damage is made. If as the cart was moving along, pebbles were cast from under the wheels outward, damaging something. If a zav was sitting in the cart and something was projected from the cart outwards and touched someone, that person would remain tahor. Benezikin nami, the parallel case by damage. Once again, don't confuse things. When we speak about damage, we're not talking about a zavis sitting in there. That was just a borrowed idea. But the similar, say, physicality of the zav case, when it comes to damage, tsuros ninu, that's called tsuros. So that a zav sitting in a cart with pebbles being cast out or anything else being cast out will not render the receiver of it as defiled. In the case of Nezikin, a cart causing projectiles to do damage will be called Suros and pay half damage. That is what Rava's point is. Tanyo Kavose de Rava. We continue in the Gemara. We have a Tanaic source like Rava. A courtesy of Gemara markings, you can take note of the conclusion of this framed source. We've dashed underline the Eglo Moshechis Bekor and Mishali Nezek Sholem. This is the point of this source that supports Rava. Now the whole source. Behemo Muedes Lashaber Bederach Hilucha Ketzad. Behemo Shenichnaso Lachotzra Nezek. A Behemo entered a private domain. Vehizika, begufa derechilucha, through its body as it walks along, besara derechilucha, through its hair as it walks along, beukav shalel, with the saddle on its back, ubishlif shalel, or a package on its back, ubeprum yishibafia, a bit in its mouth, ubezuv shibitzamor, or damage through the bell around its neck, all as it's walking along, vechamor bemaso, or a donkey, which is a well known beast of burden, with its package, ve'egla moisheches bakoron, or a calf drawing a cart, and the cart rolls over items and does damage, mishalem nezek shalem. Full damage is paid. All of these we can call toldos of regel. Tana rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that says, Tarnagolim shoy mechatetin bechevel dli v'nifsak hachevel v'nishbar hadli mishalmin nezek sholem. The Gemara is going to thoroughly analyze this source. So what we simply will do is we'll translate it literally, but we know that we're not to stop at that. The source says, describes chickens that are pecking away at a rope. A rope that's attached to a pail. The nifsak hachevel, the rope snapped, the rope broke. The nishbar hadli, the pail smashed. The owner of these chickens, mishalmin nezek shalem, have to pay full damage. The Gemara now starts a series of questions. The series of questions, as we've noted them with diamonds, is very extensive. You'll notice on the side we have a mivne, a general structural note. We indicate that this applies, this has relevance ad yud tes amud beis. The diamonds introduce shelos b'inye minyone nizke regel, questions that are related to damage done by animals through walking. No say, the immediate topic heading, Sheilas Rava. Rava presents a question. You might want to note, before we read our note, that these diamonds are also noted with a numbering scheme alongside the Gemara text, and if you flip ahead, you'll notice how the numbers keep running till you get to Yutes Amid Beis, and it appears right now that we have 10 questions highlighted with our diamonds. You can rest assured that within each question there's a great deal of internal discussion. So our note on the side, which introduces the first question, reads as follows. She'elas Rava, Rava's question. Mazik shehoyolo mago im hakli kan. A person that's, let's say, ultimately responsible for damage, that has physical contact with a vessel over here, we'll say a point A, v'nishbar hakli b'mokom acher. But the breaking of the vessel took place somewhere else. In a very simple situation, as someone knocked a vessel, caused it to roll, and at some distance there was a wall into which the vessel rolled and smashed. The vessel became smashed by its impact with the wall. Just as a simplistic example. Boser may kor azlinon, odilma boser shas shvira azlinon, dahave kocho. Do you look at the damage by emphasizing the initial, the beginning? Now, at the beginning, there was direct body contact with the item. At the time of smashing, there was no body contact. There was only force that was invested into the item that would be broken, and through the force invested in the item itself that will break, we might view it or emphasize the time of breaking when you have only force, you don't have original body contact. Now, this probably sounds to most of you like tsuros. Well, it's not exactly tsuros, because in the case of tsuros, the item broken was not in motion. In the case of tsuros, there was no body contact with the ultimate item that was destroyed. The force was imposed on projectiles. Here, we have a related issue, and that is at the time of breaking, there was only force of original source, but no longer any body contact. So, if we emphasize the shas shvira, then I'm emphasizing the kocho, the force aspect, and then the payment scheme would be different. If you emphasize the original contact, though the breaking didn't take place at that point. But if that's what's emphasized, then full damage, full restitution would be made. That is Rava's question. So you'll notice, by way of markings, we have number one with a long marking. There's also a bracketed section before we get to the end of the long marking. We'll explain that when we get to it. The house marking that you see afterwards are described on the side as Nisyonis Lifshot Shelas Rava. These are attempts to answer Rava's question. So we have the Ta Shema highlighted second line from the bottom. And when you turn to Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the second line from the top, again, the Gemara tries to answer the question. There will be a rather intensive discussion that follows the second presentation, the second Toshma, which we'll explain when we get there. So now, the Gemara. Boy, Rava. Dorso al-Hakli, an animal trampled upon a vessel. Veloshi Broso did not break it at that point. V'nizgalgil amokom acher v'nishbar, and the vessel rolled to another location and broke over there. Mahu. What is the din? Boser me'ikara az lina v'gufehu. Do you judge things by the meikar from the outset, from the beginning, and there was body contact with the offending animal, and therefore will be called gufei. It would be called niske gufo, which would mean full damages. Oy dilma boser tovar mono azlina. Or do you look at the time of breaking? Tovar, the tuf and the shin interchange, Hebrew Aramaic. So shavar is the same as tovar. Or do you look at the time of the breaking? Mono means the vessel. You emphasize that, and at the time of the vessel breaking, all there was force. There was no more actual body contact. Utsuros ninu. And then we would judge it with the tsuros standard, which would be half damages. That's the question. If you skip the brackets, you see Toshma. The Gemara tries to answer this question. What about the bracketed section? We have a note, a starred note on the side. So Grayim L'shem Diluk, the purpose of these brackets is for initial skipping. We demonstrated what that meant. Skipping the brackets gets you directly to the Gemara's attempt to answer Rava's question. HaToshma Shachrei HaSugrayim Mityaches L'Sheilas Rava. The Toshma that we have in the house shape after the brackets addresses Rava's question. B'Toch HaSugrayim, within the brackets, Yesh She'ela Al HaSheila. There's a question on the question. HaGemara Shoelis, the Gemara asks, Loma Rava HaYotzorch Lish'ol She'ela So? Why did Rava have to raise his question in the first place? Rava could have known the answer to his question from something that Rava said. The Gemara will answer that within the brackets, and it will say, listen, you expect Rava to answer his question, in other words, not to have asked his question based on what Rava says. Listen, this matter to Rava was obvious. So he had an answer, but to Rava, the very question that Rava ruled on so assuredly, to Rava was vague, was not clear. So you can't expect Rava to use Rava's ruling in order to obviate the need for raising the question that he did in the diamond. So now that we've laid out the structure, we read within the brackets. After Rava asks his question, the Gemara itself says, Tifsho le mida Rava. Why doesn't Rava answer his own question, or you can say, in why does Rava even need to raise the question, which he could have answered through Rava? No, don't confuse Rava and Rava. They're two different rabbis, Rava being a bit earlier. The Omar Rava. Zora Kli Meroish Hagag. A person took someone else's vessel, threw it off a rooftop. Uvo Acher Vishibroi B'makel. And someone on street level came with a bat, with a stick, and smashed it before the item landed on the hard pavement. Potter. The guy wielding the stick is exempt. Why? Diamrin Onle, we say, Mona Tvira Tovar, you broke something that was inevitably going to break. Now, what's the analysis of this? Why the exemption for the guy wielding the stick and culpability for the one who cast the item off the roof? The analysis of that is that we emphasize the initial contact. The initial party, he is responsible. So you see from here, using the markings we had two lines ago, we had Aleph O Dilma Beis, we would go with the Aleph approach, which read Basar Meikara Azlina Vagufehu. It's the individual's direct damage, and not damage that, and that's what we emphasize. By emphasizing the original action, we're saying there was direct contact at that point. And hence it's called Niske Gufo. It's bodily-based damage. And you pay full restitution. There's a Rashi where we have a star, Potter, HaMeshabro. The one wielding the stick who smashed it is innocent. V'chayev HaZorek, the one who cast it, who threw it off the roof, is guilty. Alma Bosom Ekora Azlinon. So you see from here, we emphasize the beginning. Since it will inevitably break when it lands, it's as if the guy that threw it off the roof broke it, and not the guy wielding the stick. So from Rabbah's ruling in holding guilty the one who threw it off the roof, I see very clearly that we emphasize initial action. Why does Rava have to raise a question that could have been answered from Rabba's ruling? The Gemara answers, L'Rabba Pshitale. According to Rava, this was a simple matter. It was clearly resolved. Simple means resolved without any hesitation. L'Rava Mibayale. But according to Rava, it remains unclear. So Rava's question, in Rava's mind, remains. Do we emphasize the outset, where there was still body contact, or the time of breaking, when all there was by way of original party was the force that they invested and not any direct contact? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to resolve it from the following source. Hidus eino muad. V'yeshomim hare ze muad. We had referred to hidus before. That's a dancing of chickens. Chickens have this tendency to hop around, sometimes in a chaotic looking fashion. That's the way of chickens. It's normal. So the source says, has two opinions, opening with an opinion that doesn't seem to make any sense. Hidus salka daitoch? Can you possibly mean dancing of the chickens as being not muad? But it is muad. Muad means it's normal, it's expected behavior. It's prone to dancing around. So how can the source open with an inaccurate statement? Elolav, rather, hidus vehitiz. What the source is describing is a chicken that's dancing around, and in the course of dancing, projectiles were cast forth. I should say, let me correct myself. That's a serious error that I just made. Hidus vehitiz, Rashi at the bottom line says, the chicken was dancing around and caused the vessel to roll to some other point. Don't make the mistake I just made. We're not dealing at this point with projectiles. We're dealing with the animal, with the chicken dancing and causing the item to roll. That's hitiz in this context. It's noteworthy that the same words appear as had appeared before, when in that context, in fact, it was a case of projectiles cast forth. Here, it means something else. And we're basing ourselves, of course, on Rashi. And it's actually noted, this phenomenon of, same words having different meanings is noted by some of the latter commentaries by the Achronim as well. But that's what it means for right now. This source is then describing chicken dancing around and landing on vessels, causing them to roll and smash somewhere else. Ubeha komiflegi. And it's on this point that you have a Tanaic disagreement. The Mor Savar, the second opinion, the Yesh Omrim, says Hare, that said Hare Zeh Muad. The Mor Savar Basami Korazlin. When you say it's Muad, you're saying in so many words, full damages. Full damages can be explained only if you look at what happened by emphasizing initial contact, where there was still chicken body contact with the item. It's true, it didn't smash at that point, but there was contact. So the Mar Sovar, the Yesh Omrim, the second opinion, says that's what we emphasize, the Meikora. And Umar Sovar, the Tanakama, the first opinion, says Basar Tovar Monazinon. He says it's not Muad, which would mean only half damages are paid. And that's a function of his looking at the rolling vessel by emphasizing the point of its smashing. And at that point, the chicken is no longer in contact with the vessel. So Rava's question would basically be, you have a machlokes tanoim. The Gemara says, lo. That's not the accurate, the correct analysis of the source. The source is not dealing with Rava's scenario, with the scenario presented in Rava's question. Because the source is what we said before mistakenly, now we'll say it. We're at the top of Daf Yudches, Behitiz Tsuros. The chicken was dancing around, and in the course of its dancing, it projected pebbles. And the pebbles, in their flight, broke something. The Tanakhama says, Eino Muad. That's Ubeplukta, the Sumchus Rabbon and Kamiflegi. The two opinions in that brief source parallel the machlokes between the Rabbonin and Sumchus. The Rabbonin say half damage, and the opinion of Sumchus says full damage. So in the source that said Hindus Eino Muad, that means half damage, like the Rabbonin, the Chatzi Nezek Tsuros. Tsuros generates a half payment, and the Yesh Omrim says Hareze Muad, which means full payment. That is like Sumchus. But once again, just to emphasize the difference between Rava and the case, the standard case of Tzuros, is that in Rava's question, we're dealing with force invested in actual vessel that will break. Tzuros deals with force invested in a projectile that breaks a stationary item. So that the classic case of Tzuros is not what Rava is dealing with. So what we have to do is search for another Tanaic source that would parallel that which Rava was dealing with in his question. So let's try this. Toshma, second house marking, Tarnagoylin, Shoyu Mechatatin, Bechevel, Dli. Chickens were pecking away at the rope attached to a pail. V'nifsa kachevel v'nishma hadli. The rope snapped and the pail broke. Mishalmin nezek sholem. The full restitution is the amount that needs to be paid. Now, when the pail broke, was the chicken in contact with it? No. The chicken was responsible for snapping the rope, and the pail broke somewhere else, where it landed. And yet, full restitution is made. Shma mina, boser me karaz lina. So we would conclude, if we were to stop at this point, we would say, here we have an answer that we look at the initial contact. Even though at the time of breaking there was no longer body contact, at the initial point, the chicken had direct contact with the rope that was attached to the pail. That's, for our purposes, like the pail itself. The Gemara, though, says we're not going to come to that conclusion. You see the triangles? I'm sure you can see that they appear in successive alternating directions. Sometimes the point is up, sometimes the point is down, in an alternating fashion. On the side of the Gemara under our Mivna, our structural note says that this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the triangle point facing up, lifshot, this is an attempt to resolve shebosser meikoraz linon, that we should follow the initial scenario, not the situation at the time of actual breaking. The inverted triangle indicates dchia, a rejection of that conclusion. So at this point, we continue in the Gemara. Tirgema, explain the nezek sholem in this source, achevel, with regard to the chicken ripping the rope. The Gemara the chicken ripping the rope. There's no issue of analyzing two different stages. The chicken directly ripped the rope. It pecked on the rope, and that's it. It ruined it. And that's what the source was focusing on when it said, you must pay nezek sholem, full restitution, on the rope. I think more asks, v'hochevel mishunehu. You wouldn't pay full damage for the rope. It's odd for a chicken to peck at a rope. That's not normal chicken behavior. The Gemara says, it is. The mos belisha. The rope was soiled with, was coated in dough. As far as chickens are concerned, dough is delicious food. So a chicken is naturally going to be attracted to a rope that's coated in dough. It'll peck away at it. So it's not mishune, and therefore there's no reason to categorize it as karen, as a chatzi nezek type damage, when it's normal for chickens to peck away at ropes coated with dough. The Gemara asks, but v'ha nishbar d'li katani. You can't ignore the source itself. The source speaks about the pail breaking. And the nezek sholem that the source says must be paid is for the pail. The Rashi on this says, initially, when we read the source, V'nishba Adli, Kosal Kadaitach, Sha'al Yidal Yidei Shoya Tarnagol Menaker, Esachevel Nizgadil Hadli V'nishba. The thinking was that as a result of the chicken pecking away at the rope, the pail rolled away and broke. So at this point then, if we continue with that thinking, we would say that Nezek Shalem is paid, even though at the time of the breaking there was no contact. This would reinstate what we said initially. Notice the direction of the triangle, just like we said initially, that we emphasized the Meikora when there was still direct chicken contact. Then what's his note? Elo Sumchasi. We're going to say that this source is in accordance with Sumchas. Diomar Tsuros Nezek Sholem Mishalem. By saying that it's Sumchas, we're saying that force-related damage also pays Nezek Sholem. And I could tell you that we really look at the time of the vessel breaking. The time the vessel broke, the chicken was no longer in contact with it. But as far as Sumchas is concerned, that doesn't make a difference in terms of the payment scale. You'll still pay full damage. Let's read that again in the Gemara. Ela Sumchasi. Now, the inverted triangle indicates that we're not going to conclude Boser Meikara. We're going to explain this source as being authored by Sumchas, Diomar Tsuros Nezek Shalem Mishalem. And that as far as we're concerned, we look at the breaking of the vessel, the time of breaking, as the deciding factor. The Gemara raises a question, and you'll note this is a long question. E Sumchas, E Mosefa. If the source above, introduced with the house marking, is authored by Sumchas, you've got to continue reading the continuation, the Sefa, the end of the source, and see if we can maintain that consistency, having the that which appears in the Sefa also be true to Sumchas. After all, we have a source, and a source has one continuous author in it. If the Resha is authored by Sumchas, so the continuation would have to fall in line with Sumchas. Well, let's see if that's really going to happen. So the Sefa says, Nitaz Menu Shever. The pail that smashed, a shard was projected from it. Nitaz means to be cast out, cast or projected, a shever, a broken piece. V'nofal al kli achir v'shibra, and a second vessel was broken. Al harishon mishalei nezek sholem, for the first vessel, full damages are paid. V'al achron, for the second vessel, only half damages. Ve'i Sumchas, if this source, Reisha and Seifa, are authored by Sumchas, mi'islei chatzi nezek, where in Sumchas' lexicon does he have half damage? Sumchas, we've seen so many times in our shiur today, referring to force Koach damage is paying full. Where does this Chatzi Nezek figure? The Chitema, you might try to argue, Shaini Le L'Sumchas Bein Nezek Koichai L'Koyach Koichai. That Sumchas makes a distinction between initial force that was vested in the pail upon which the chicken jumped. Koyach Koichai, derivative force. That's the pail, the initial pail, pail one that broke, projectile cast forth from it, breaking a second vessel. That's derivative koyach, derivative force. Maybe Sumchas makes a distinction between the two, that for initial force, full damage. Secondary force, half damage. Well, if that was like a matter of fact by Sumchas, Rav Ashi later on asks, Koyach koyachi l'sumchas, derivative force according to Sumchas, koyachi domi, is it like initial force and you pay according to Sumchas full damage? Olav koyachi domi, or it's not like initial force, and then even Sumchas would say you pay half damage. Now Rav Ashi raises this question. Does Rav Ashi need to raise a question whose answer is right over here? Tifsho le, let Rav Ashi resolve that question, delav kekoy chodoni. That the secondary force is not like initial force. And yet, Rav Ashi has such a question. It must be, then, that this source, the Reish and Sefer, are not authored by Sumchus at all. And hence, Rav Ashi raises question about Sumchus, concerning whom we don't have any sources. That's why Rav Ashi raises the question. Ah, as far as this source, Evolav, Rabbonan he. This source, the Reish and Sefer, are according to the Rabbonan. Now, what did it say in the Reisha? It said that the pail, after the rope was smashed, the pail broke somewhere else, and you pay full damage. And it's according to the Rabbonan. Shma amino boser meikor azlinon. We would then conclude that we do emphasize the initial contact, where there was still body contact between chicken and pail with its rope. Notice the long marking ends here. Excuse me. The last triangle positioning at the beginning of this long mark had the point facing up. And that very clearly reflects what we have just attempted to conclude. That Boser Meikor Azlinon. Notice with the markings, this was the first positioning of the triangle, four lines from the top, where we felt secure by concluding. We said Shma Mino Boser Meikor Azlinon, and that's what we seem to be concluding right now. And yet, we don't end here yet. Notice inverted triangle. Omar of Beivai Bar Abaye. The case with the chicken and the rope and the pail. The Kaozil Mine Mine. Rashi says, the Kaozil Dali. The pail is moving Mine Mine. The Tarnagol from the chicken itself. Velo Nishbar De Gilgul Lamokom Acher. The pail smashing isn't a function of it simply rolling to some distant location and then smashing. Elohu dochafo kol shah. The chicken is pushing it along. Ubashash shvironami. It's pushing along literally to the very last second. The chicken shoves it bodily into the wall where it smashes. Oh, well, if that's the case, then it has nothing to do with Rava's question. This source is not dealing with a chicken and initial contact and breaking at some later point where chicken is no longer in the picture. This source with the chicken pecking away and the pail breaking is a function of the chicken having contact with the pail to the very last moment. So that's basic Nizke Gufo, damage caused by direct contact. Till the point of breaking, you'll have to say that it seems to me that the chicken behavior here is all within the realm of normal chicken behavior. I think that maybe a little more, let's say, practical explanation would have to be offered as to is this really normal? But let's just assume that frolicking chickens with ropes coated in dough, say, get the best out of chickens, causing them to behave like this. And hence, it's all within the realm of normal behavior, and hence, Nezek Sholem. As far as Rava's question is concerned, it's not resolved. Rava's question, once again, dealt with a case of initial body contact with an attacking animal, and eventual breaking, but at a point that the animal was no longer in contact with the vessel. It rolled and broke somewhere else. How much is paid? Do you look at the ikar of the beginning where there was contact or the time of breaking? That remains a question. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.